B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And look who's back. A man by the name of Will Brinson. You can catch him entertaining the people over there at CBSSports.com. He's got his Pick 6 podcast. He's got the whole 9 yards of cooking. Will Brinson joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Will Brinson, hello, sir.
What's going on, guys? I don't know where. I was skiing last week up in the frigid mountains of North Carolina, so apologies for my absence.
That's right. Congratulations on that. Hopefully, you can get back to your industrial banking that goes on there.
How good is North Carolina skiing? It can't be good.
Oh, it's terrible. we went up to Sugar Mountain. It was my wife and my brother-in-law and his wife took the kids up for their first skiing trip. So it was really more like, you know, it's just a bunny slope situation, which is fine. And they also had, put a bunch of fake snow down. They had a tubing, like a snow tubing area, which was actually a ton of fun because we went in the late thing, and by that point the shadow had come over the snow, and it just turned to pure ice. And we're just flying down this thing. So that was incredible.
Tubing is one of those things that when you do it, you can't believe how intense it actually is.
I mean, Adolfo and I did it. Adolfo and I did it in New Hampshire.
It's awesome, but it's terrifying.
If you think he had pants on when he got out of that tube, you'd be mistaken. If you thought Adolfo's pants were staying on when he got out of that tube, if you wanted to see Adolfo's ass, it was not hard to see it, but that tube was no place for that belt. His ass was going to be exposed. So, listen,
tubing in jeans, is that what you're saying? He was jeans tubing?
No. Yeah, no, yeah, he had jeans on.
He was tubing in his regular pants? What a mistake that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I had sweatpants on. I didn't know what you're supposed to wear when you go skiing. All I know is the guy said I had a weak right leg.
Well, Fred, I told you the first time I went skiing, I was out of town with Mary's family, and we didn't know we were going to go skiing, but they went to the skiing place, and I had no money. Her parents said that they would pay for my skiing, but like all the skis and stuff I had to get. I didn't have any gloves, and I wore jeans, and it was freezing.
So, yeah, the gloves. You got to have the gloves.
Hands felt like I could have taken a hammer and hit them by the time I hit the bottom, and it would have just broken into shards.
Yeah.
Like, I might have had hypothermia or some sort of frostbite by the time that I was done. And the best, too, is that I didn't know what the little symbols meant at the top of the mountain, and I just was following people when I got off, and I went down a black diamond by accident. And so it took me 2.5 hours to crawl down the mountain, which is what I did. And when you're on a black diamond, there's guys who know what they're doing. And I'm sitting right in the middle of the slope, and they're all like about to hit me like jackass or yelling at me as they fly by. So I literally crawled down a mountain with no gloves on in jeans for 2.5 hours. And that was my first ski experience.
Well, you
pretty
know,
classic. Move it, jeans boy.
I broke a guy's leg. I broke a guy's leg at Alpine Mountain. And this was a trash refinery where they just took trash and put dirt over it. And then when it snowed, that was the ski mountain. It was Alpine Mountain. And my mom stayed to watch me go down for the first time. And my friend took me up the stupid ski lift. And this was no black diamond situation. And he took me up the dumb ski lift, even though I should have been on one of those tow rope ones. And he put me up on the ski lift. And then I went down. And I told the guy to get out of the way, and this Asian dude was just going back and forth super slow. And you know the Austin Powers where he looks at the guys on the like paver, the steamroller?
Yeah.
And he just looks at me and goes, stop. The guy stops in the middle of the mountain and just looks at me and goes, stop. So I just fell. And I fell right into him, and I sliced the hell out of my chin, needed stitches, and I broke his leg.
Oh, jeez.
And when I saw my mom, she goes, we're getting out of here. Which was, you can ask my mom about that if you have any questions about it. So, skiing, I've always had bad experiences skiing. It's not for me. By the way, my daughter sleds with no gloves on. It's, like, satanic. I don't understand how she generates that kind of warmth. But I know that feeling. It's just awful. All right. Well, listen, Will Brinson.
Good to talk to you guys. See you next week.
Yeah. How about that J.J. Watt, huh? I mean, Arizona. I mean, let's just write our tickets for L.A., if shall we? I mean, this is a Super Bowl team.
I mean, I'm being sarcastic. I was going to say, you're being sarcastic. I think people were giving J.J. Watt a little too much crap yesterday. It's like everyone had decided he was going to Green Bay, Buffalo, or Cleveland.
No, I don't care where he goes. I just think that for the fuss that was made, I don't think he did anything wrong. I just think for the fuss that was made and the amount of money he was paid, and if I'm him, I'm taking every dollar that's offered to me. It seems like a lot for not very much in return.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you look at what Arizona has on defense, that J.J. Watt fits in pretty well there. He knows Vance Joseph, former defensive assistant with the Texans. You know, they have Chandler Jones, so he's not going to see double teams. I think he saw double teams at the highest rate of any player that met the threshold for snaps last year, because the Texans were Texans were terrible, and you know, the old one guy you had to slow down was J.J. Watt. You could just run all over him. You know, you're not going to be able to do that against Arizona. And I think there's a pretty good chance that what they do is they bring him in and use him on like somewhere between 50 and 75% of the snaps early on, maybe even less. Use him in a bunch of nickel situations, and through the first few weeks, keep him healthy. Start to ramp him up as you get closer to the end of the season and hope you're making a playoff run. And you got full-time J.J. Watt rolling. So, it was a lot of money. But I think, you know, the Cardinals, where they are, you know, had to probably overpay a little. Like, you know, he gets the best of both worlds. Let's not forget, he lost $17 million when the Texans cut him, you know, when they did him a favor. they took $17 million away from him. That's a lot. So he's recouping that. Plus, he probably has like $6 million guaranteed in 2022. I think he's still got more left in the tank than people are giving him credit for. And I think Arizona's closer to being a contender. Kyler Murray could take another leap in year three. I think he took a step forward last year. Then he trailed off, but he got hurt. You know, they have DeAndre Hopkins. I'm sure that J.J. Watt called Nuke and said, hey, man, you know, is this a fun place to play? Can we win here? And he gave him the thumbs up, and so he's joining. I think the problem was that Arizona just was never mentioned as a possible landing spot, and that's what threw people off. But to me, this is a nice pickup by them. I mean, they needed some defensive help. He's going to pair really well with Chandler Jones, and I think the Cardinals are a better team. I think they're the second-best team in that division right now.
Okay, right. Speaking of that division, in that division is a guy who, for reasons unknown, is trying to fire his way off of his team, and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, Fred has said it as much as anybody, is I don't know how much better of a situation you're going to get in other places in the league. You got great ownership. You got a coach that's obviously people love playing for, even though they apparently, according to that Athletic article, they've been butting heads, but it's not going to be perfect anywhere you go. But is he ruining his legacy by doing things like having his agent put four teams out there that he would go to, two of which have like legitimate quarterbacks right now, like the Raiders? And you heard about that whole situation with an article was written by Derek Carr's brother. And the Cowboys, like that's like an ultimate dick move to do that to Dak Prescott and to Derek Carr. If you're them, you're like, what the hell? You want to take my job? Is he ruining his legacy a little bit by doing this?
If you're Derek Carr, you're laying under the bus and it just rolled over you for the third time, and you're looking at Dak and you're like, what do we do here? He's like, I don't know, ask him. And you look over, it's Pete Carroll. He's like, don't ask me, ask him. It's John Schneider. He's like, don't ask me, ask them. It's Russ's offensive line. No. Ask these guys. It's DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Like everybody in Russ's life. It's so weird because, I mean, Phyllis had known Russell for a long time, but I mean, he played football at NC State for 3 years. I mean, I was in Raleigh here when he played, and when he left and went to Wisconsin, that whole thing with Tom O'Brien and Mike Glennon, the way that it shook out was really weird. It's been covered a billion times, but you'll never find a quote from Russ on record disparaging Tom O'Brien. Like, he never did it. Even when he got to the NFL and he was in the hunt for the rookie of the year and he was winning a Super Bowl, he never did it. He's always taken this robotic PR dream scenario of, you know, it's good for the team, go Hawks, you know, he just doesn't do it. And then all of a sudden, now he's like this guy who's like in college who looks at his college girlfriend, you know, she's got a job at a jewelry store. He's like, I'm not going to break up with you. Yeah, I don't want to break up with you, but you know, if you don't get me a Jaguar, I'm going to have to break up with you. You know, it's like what? Like, what do you mean? Like, if they don't give you, you're telling me if the Seahawks don't give you personnel? He goes, it's all passive aggressive too. It's crazy. He says that the Seahawks don't give him basically personnel control and scheme control, then he's going to force his way to Las Vegas, Dallas, Chicago, or New Orleans. What on earth? It's the craziest way that this has unfolded. And to answer the short question, yeah, I think he is hurting his legacy. And yes, I think he's, and even if it's not because people will be like, ah, what an a-hole, Russell Wilson, but because this is going to have short-term ramifications in that it's going to make the Seahawks a worse team in 2021. I mean, how can this team possibly all coexist knowing the things that have gone on this offseason?
Sure.
I don't think the Seahawks can trade him before June 1, because it's a $39 million cap hit. I mean, they're trying to be competitive this year. They're not going to lay down and die because Russell Wilson wasn't happy. And so then you get into the, you know, can you trade him to Las Vegas for Derek Carr in the middle of June? You could probably do Dak Prescott if he hasn't signed his franchise tag, and you do a sign and trade and you flip those two guys, and then your cap hits somewhere in the range of like $40 million for Dak and Russ combined. You know, that could work, I guess, but it speaks to how long this has been going on, and we all had no idea that it's finally boiling over. I mean, he went to that Athletic article, fantastic reporting. He went to John Schneider and Pete Carroll and sat down with them in the middle of the season last year. It was like, I need more scheme control and personnel control. Like, it's week 8 against Arizona. What are you doing?
I know. Yeah. It is really strange.
He's insane, and he's a total nerd, and he's bungled this whole thing just as you thought he would. I mean, he's just a jackass.
And by the way, Fred, the other thing, too, is that you hear Russell Wilson complaining about how he doesn't have this help around him. Part of the reason you can't get the help you want is because a giant stack of the money is going towards you. So, I mean, say what you will about Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady was a guy when he was with the Patriot. You know, he would take these cuts in order to get decent parts around him. Russell Wilson says, I want everything. I want the max amount of money, and I want you to be able to get these players that would cost a lot to be around me. You can't have both. Russell.
Yeah, and I would say this too. Like, I think he was sitting in that Super Bowl, suite, you know, down in Tampa, masked up with his wife, you know, holding the good guy trophy. Like,
good guy.
And look, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is prestigious. It is a great award, but nobody wants it over a Super Bowl. So he's sitting there like cameras panning to him, and he's just it's kind of hard. I mean, I know we've seen a bunch of people in masks these days. It's kind of hard to tell when somebody's just about to explode behind a mask. Like Russell Wilson was just about to sink into darkness, and Roger Goodell's talking to him. He can't hear him. He's like, womp, womp, womp. And I think he was looking at Tom Brady and getting FOMO because Tom Brady can do what he wants, and he has control. He doesn't have control, but he has an integrated partnership or whatever it is with the Buccaneers. It's a bizarre situation in that happening. It's a unicorn situation. And then I also think I wouldn't sleep on this. I think he was looking at Patrick Mahomes on the other side, who was like one play away from being in his third straight Super Bowl, and realizing that in 2012, Andy Reid wanted to draft Russell Wilson in Philadelphia. And I think that Russ is like, man, like I'm this close to being Andy Reid's quarterback, because he would have, Russell Wilson would have thrived in Andy Reid's offense, and he's running this Pete Carroll offense and taking a bunch of shots, and Reid would have had him, you know, getting the ball out quick, throwing bombs down the field. And I think he was looking at Mahomes and Brady and thinking, you know, this, like, because I ended up where I ended up, this is how I think he's had this like crazy case of FOMO, and it really put everything over the top, and that's what sent him into the, Jason Lockenfor reported it first, and then he was on the Dan Patrick Show the next morning, and I think it all just sort of bubbled up, and
he
made a mistake.
Yeah, it was like 0-60 with that. And the other thing, too, with Russell is that, you know, there was a storyline that kind of bubbled up. And that was, you know, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't beat Tom Brady, you know, everyone already declared them they were going to be a dynasty. But are they going to be another Seahawks? You know, you heard that a lot, too.
Yeah.
People thought the Seahawks were going to be a dynasty. And look what happened to those guys. You know, they got the one and blah, blah, blah.
But the irony is that the reason that the Seahawks dynasty fell apart is because Pete Carroll was hell-bent on making it Russell Wilson's team instead of the defenses.
Yes.
Yep. Good point.
They gave all the money to Russell Wilson, and he told the team to take it easy on Russell Wilson, and they did everything to bend over for Russell Wilson, and then they do it all, and then Russell Wilson turns around and goes, but we're not winning. Well, that's because of you. That's because you are the guy that we've given everything to, and the idea that you go, well, they're in the Super Bowl. Well, okay. Xander Bogaerts is playing shortstop for the Red Sox. I wish I want to do that. I blame my dad for not having me practice more. I mean, it's ridiculous. Get out of here.
Well, it's like yes. Tom Brady is here, and he got to say, hey, I want Antonio Brown, and the Buccaneers got him for him. He said, hey, I want Gronk.
There's one thing, but it's like, okay, so they Gronk unretired for him, fine, and then they pick up Antonio Brown, which they didn't want to do, but it's like. So if you had Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, like that's personnel decision. Like, okay, and I know Russell Wilson wanted Antonio Brown. So all of a sudden they win the Super Bowl. I mean, he's a nerd, and he's the Ted Cruz of football. Everything he does is a little late and just misguided and stupid. And he's trying and posing, and he's the worst. And everything I hear about him just doubles down on that. Guy's got everything right in front of him. No personal responsibility. You win. You go win. That big shot. You sucked in the second half of the season.
And, Mr. Yeah. Unlimited.
Right.
That's right. He's so funny.
Look, Tom Russell hadn't been to the NFC Championship game since 2014. Tom Brady has three Super Bowls since then. And it's not all Tom Brady. You know, the defense was really good the year they beat the Rams, and Brady had a couple of big moments. And I think the point of it's a grass is greener situation for Russell Wilson, and I don't think he realizes it. Like, and for Seahawks fans who were like, you got to fire Pete Carroll. This guy is unbelievable. He won't pass the ball on every down. It's like he wins 9 games every year, guys. Like, I get that Russell Wilson's there, but there's the Texans just won 4 games with Deshaun Watson. You don't get 9 free wins because you have a quarterback.
Right.
And, like, appreciate the fact that you've got a guy who hasn't had a losing record as a head coach since 2000 and since he got there, because 2011 they were 500, right, or maybe one below.
I don't know. I take Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson. I can't. Wilson is not. Pete Carroll's a Hall of Fame coach. Russell Wilson is a pretender.
Russell Wilson is a Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. But I mean,
he's a Hall of Fame quarterback like Philip Rivers is a Hall of Fame. He's bottom.
Hey! Let's not get personal.
I know. He's a hometown guy. I understand. All right. There you go. But he's turned his back on you for the West Coast. So I don't know what you're talking about. All right.
He's back in Alabama coaching high school football.
Yeah, so one day all his kids will be on the team, and he can have them all 22 of just.
That's literally why he's doing it, so he can coach all his kids.
Yeah, oh, good. It must be nice to have a lot of money. All right, listen. Thank you so much, Will Brinson. Read him on CBSSports.com. You can check out the Pick Six podcast. Thank you so much for the time.
Hey, see you guys. Have a good day.
So there you go. Will Brinson. I'll tell you what. That Russell Wilson, I could talk about him 4 hours a day. I hate him. I'm starting to develop a nice hate for him. Everything that's sent to me, I'm Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, everything's great.
It's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
And his wife. I don't want to live in Seattle. Oh, well, guess what? That's why you married the guy, because he makes a lot of money. And that's where he makes his money. So that's where you're going to live. And you can spend as much time as you want not living there, but you'll have a house in Seattle. Get a one-bedroom apartment and just, you know, keep one toe in there. All right. We'll be back in just a moment as things roll along on this Tuesday morning.
Dutcher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Whoop, 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 boom. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you have something you'd like to talk about?
Yeah, in all the years of going to doctors, whether it be just for checkups or for surgeries or anything of the like, you start to learn pretty quick that there's two kinds of doctors. There's ones with excellent bedside manner, and then there's ones that are absolutely clueless. Those are usually the doctors that are probably geniuses when it comes to what they're actually doing. But sometimes your brain can be so full with one type of thinking, like the analytical and the type it takes to make a good surgeon, and completely, almost that there's not enough space for the part that can
read people's
emotions.
That's a kind way
of
looking at it. No, it's that your brain computes things in such a manner that it is, it's the way you process information, and it's not one for nuance or anything for reading a room or things of that nature.
Yeah, there was a guy that Mary had to see during all of her stuff that was going on with leukemia, and when we went in, he was like, "Oh, hello." We're like, "Hi, how's it going?" He goes, "Okay, so
was he Frankie Prankster?"
He sounds just like Frankie, but he talked like that. He goes, "Oh, okay, so I'm looking at your charts. So you just found out you had breast cancer, is that correct?" And my wife goes, "No." And he goes, "Yeah, but here in the chart," and he points at something, he goes, "Oh, never mind. Okay, so let's talk about apparently your heart." And like Mary's like, no, wait. What are you pointing at in that chart that makes you think I have breast cancer? He goes, "Oh, no, just a lot of people who are coming here for what you have to have done have breast cancer, or they get it. So, but don't worry about that." And you're like, "Oh, huh?"
Yeah.
So we called Mary's doctor, like her like the very nice doctor who kind of like runs point for all the stuff that she had to get done. And she was like, "Don't worry about him. He's absolutely brilliant. He might be the best in the Northeast at what he does, but the guy has no clue how to talk like a human being." So,
well, you're paying for the hands. You're not
well, some of these guys are like on the spectrum. I mean, like they're able to to, you know, take in all this technical information and able to concentrate for a long time, but in terms of interpersonal, you know, it doesn't compute. So I can see how that would work.
But here is a situation where I don't care how brilliant you are. You gotta know that this was the wrong idea. So there it was, a plastic surgeon. He was in the middle of doing surgery. As a matter of fact, he's in the room dressed in scrubs. In the background on a table, there is somebody who is being performed on. Like they're actually doing surgery in the background. And apparently he had to go to court. Now, courts are closed right now. It was some sort of traffic court. But he decided, you know what, since it's virtual, I'll just attend this Zoom court hearing while I'm doing surgery. Here's how things went. Once again, he is actually in the room performing surgery when the camera goes on him. In one of the squares is the judge, and they're talking on Zoom.
So unless I'm mistaken, I'm seeing a defendant that's in the middle of an operating room appearing to be actively engaged in providing services to a patient. Is that correct, Mr. Green?
Yes, sir.
Or what I should I say, Dr. Green, but I don't know that.
Okay. That's so, okay.
I do not feel comfortable for the welfare of a patient if you're in the process of operating that I would put on a trial, notwithstanding the fact that the officer's here today.
What's, sir, I have another surgeon right here who's doing the surgery with me, so I can stand here and allow them to do the surgery also.
Not at all. I don't think so. I don't think that's appropriate. I think we're going to have, I'm going to come up with a different date when you're not actively involved or participating in attending to the needs of a patient.
I apologize, Your Honor, to the court. Sometimes surgery doesn't always go as,
the court, as you know, as it happens. We want to keep people healthy. We want to keep them alive. That's important.
Can you imagine?
That's a power move. That guy just did was a power move. Now, it went viral, so it didn't work out for him. But what he did was like, you're really going to make me do this stupid crap? All right, well, I'm a doctor, and look at what you're making me do. You're making me go on this stupid thing while I have better things to be doing, like operating. That was a power move. A power move gone wrong.
Can you
which
imagine?
Which is the name of my second album.
Power move gone wrong. Power moves. And then .. gone wrong.
That's right.
Can you imagine being the family of that person or that person after that video goes viral?
If the plastic surgery, if you made the jugs big enough and there's no scarring, you can do whatever you want while you're operating on me. I'll tell you that. I mean, if he's just put in a couple sacks of silicone and you get those cassava melons and they're looking fresh and healthy at the end of the day, listen, I don't care how you make the sausage.
This is like Fred, the guy who got the colonoscopy and was passed out and had pressed record on his phone.
Yeah, that guy's a lunatic.
And when he woke up, he listened to it and heard them all making fun of the size of his penis and sued them for like $500,000.
What a maniac that guy is. What a horrible maniac. They were making fun of me as I laid on the table about my small penis.
Oh, by the way, somebody said,
you're passed out. Shut up. What do you care what they do?
Yeah.
As long as they're not screwing around with you. They said hurtful words.
Somebody said when I was 10 or so, I sliced my hand open at the hospital about to get stitches right before giving me anesthesia. The doctor says, I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to be the worst pain of your life. Thanks, buddy. Not freaky at all as a 10-year-old.
Oh, but you want to talk about this. So, you know, like I probably have this torn rotator cuff that's going to need surgery. I talked to my mom about a vacation. And she's like, did you see the doctor? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, what? And I go, they think I have a torn rotator cuff. And she goes, oh, that's a horrible, horrible recovery. And I go, what's the point? I put it on speaker so my wife could hear. I go, what's the point of telling me that? Oh, no. Oh, it's just that it's horrible. It's not good. It's just, no. It just takes a really long time. And it's not fun. Oh, okay. Well, thanks. I mean, thanks for the heads up. And at the end of the phone call, she's like, I probably shouldn't have said that about the surgery. And I'm like, no. There was no point of that. There was no point. Like, after I've had it, then you can say, wow, that sucks. But you don't do it beforehand.
I could listen to these horrible bedside manner calls and stories all day. Those things crap me. Like, just doctors who have no clue about how to talk to a human being.
Or they're emergency room doctors that just have to, you know, work on 87 people a day and they're doing 36-hour shifts and they don't really care about their bedside manner, which I get. Or they're dudes like that were with Mary that are these like brilliant guys that are coming up with cutting edge technology, but those are dudes that probably have a hard time navigating the grocery store, you know? Like they're able to concentrate on one thing for a very long time and able to read, you know, information and process information in a way that we'll never understand. But meanwhile, they can't sit and have dinner with you because they can't process that whole situation. So,
well,
yeah,
Fred, I told you the story about the guy who told Mary that she had leukemia. And as he was telling us that, his phone went off in his pocket and the ringer was conga by the Miami Sound Machine.
Yeah, that's like my father.
Come on,
Chicken Bob,
baby, do the conga. Yeah, you got leukemia. You might not live longer. It's just like, oh, my God.
During my grandfather's funeral, they had flown like this dude in from Dublin. And his priest and like all this stuff, and Stephanie's here, but it went off. It was this sort of the same thing. The ringer went off, and it was like Africa or something. Like, you know, like it was like some like
sometimes
oh, it was when the saints come marching
go.
In.
Okay.
It was when the saints come marching in. It was started playing like on this guy's phone, and I'm like, I'm like, what are you guys? I know you, this is just another one of these funerals that you got, but like, you know, take your phone out of your pocket. Like you're going to get a phone. I know Catholic stuff's long and boring, but you're going to get a phone call. Like, it was under the dude's robe, so he had to pull the robe up and like start looking in his pockets. And his, you got a big robe on. What are you going to? You're not going to look at your phone. people are on another planet, but.
That guy's being investigated now, by the way, the surgeon for doing that. I think there's all sorts of privacy issues, too, to have a public camera on somebody's plastic somebody's surgery. I think there's got to be some weird privacy laws you're breaking there, too.
That was an FU to the court, and it would have worked, but it had to go viral. It had to go. He didn't play into that. Public record. He didn't take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. I think a plastic surgeon, I'm not putting up there with someone who is, you know, an expert in blood disease. I think the plastic surgeon was more just like flipping up his collar and going like, I'm daddy doctor, like, you know, I don't have no time for this nickel and dime, you know, garbage. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack?
Are the Bucks and Tom Brady working on a contract extension? Also, a new gas station snack that could be a game changer, and experts have weighed in on who will be starting under center for the Patriots.
All right, we'll have all that for you in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.